Welcome to your new Hollywood. You get it? Got it? Good.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Like usual, Dan was spilling all this delicious content and we hadn't even started recording yet. What can you do? Anyway, welcome to episode 44, entitled Seriously, Series Pickups. What do you think, Dan?
I'm mixed. I'm not like super excited. Like, there's no Lost, there's no Desperate Housewives, there's no CSI. There's nothing that like I'm like, oh my god, this is the new show.
Yeah.
There's no Scandal.
There's
a couple of interesting pilots. There's definitely some interesting themes that the network seem to be wanting to address. And then there's the usual.
I'm slightly confused, but before we dive in, I just want to say we are missing our third leg, Kia. She is not with us during this recording, and she has a lot going on, and I don't think she's had the chance to check out some of these pilots yet.
I miss you.
I do too. Kia, we're thinking about you, lady. Before we dive in to talk about these series pickups, which are kind of weird, and I've thrown down some random ones that we've seen, I think that we should talk about a little entertainment news. First up, Luther is back. It premiered on BBC One yesterday. Why, oh why, isn't airing in the United States at the same time? I don't know.
What is the deal with that? Is that just...
I don't
understand.
I really don't get it. I mean, if this is just to create some hype, then it's a cruel and unusual, horrible thing to do. And Aegis, I'm very upset.
Well, I mean, this has come up time and again with Doctor Who. There was huge complaints until they finally started airing them at the same time. Mm-hmm. With Downton Abbey, like, there was a huge amount of piracy, which made a lot of people, like, question the split. I just don't understand what exactly is the holdup between the two territories.
I really don't know if this has anything to do with licensing or some agreement that's been made, but it sucks, and it's going to encourage more piracy. That's all to it. It's just going to encourage it. But, you know, at the same time, it did well. Apparently, according to Deadline.com, it aired on Tuesday night, and it had 5 million viewers. That's insanity. Isn't that around the Walking Dead kind of number?
Yeah, but that seems low.
It is low. Well, they said it's lower than it was last year. It's about 600,000 low. 600,000 viewers off from the last time.
Hmm.
Oh, no, from 2011. Sorry.
That's kind of weird.
It is.
I wonder if people are tired of it there.
Well, they had to wait for freaking ever. They took too long. You know, poor Idris, I don't know if he's the one that's manning his Facebook page, but it's like, guess what's going on? Look, we started production, and then it's sort of like, we're on our way, we're coming with our lame 4 episodes, cheap BBC. Where are you throwing the money, BBC? Oh my goodness.
Probably some of the stuff we don't get.
Probably, but come on, that show rocks. It rocks. And I don't want to give any spoilers. I don't. But I'm going to have to say, I did go over to BBC One's page. And there's all this talk about not looking under your bed. That's all I'm going to say. That made me drool even more.
As long as Alice is back, I'll be happy.
She is back, and you see it in the promo. She's back, and she's standing in police headquarters. Like, look at me, blink, I'm here. I think that she and Idris's character run away together at the very end. They go to Mexico.
That's pure speculation.
I know. What can I say? Anyway, congrats to Idris Elba. They say that this is the last series of the series.
Right.
That's too bad. He did an interview, and apparently he said he'd rather see, instead of a renewal of the series, he'd rather see a movie. And you know what? I'm in. I'm in, because that's going to be some sick stuff. What is it, Dan? What's the attraction to the series? And I'm actually almost afraid that I'm attracted to the series, because it is crazy, cold, violent.
Yeah, but it's an interesting take on that procedural. The characters don't quite do the things you always predict.
That's true. That's true. I mean, but morally, it's just outer limits. It's outer limits. It makes me question my own insanity. Yet I watch it still. Moving on over to YouTube. Yum Yum F's Internet Icon with Ryan Higa is back on YouTube. It's in its second season. Does anybody watch this series? Because nobody else I know is talking about it. And I think it's great.
I'm afraid I don't watch it.
That's bad. That's bad.
I tried it. It wasn't interesting to me, and I stopped watching it.
It's even better than the first season. I mean, for people who don't know, this is a series that's produced by the Yum Yum F YouTube channel, which was started by Justin Lin, Ryan Higa, and Kev Jumba, and a fleet of others for YouTube. And in this show, it's a competition program in which YouTube talent compete to see who's the best. And they get all these interesting challenges where they have to create content under, you know, this beating clock. And they've churned out some really great stuff. I guess I feel alone that I'm watching this, but I'm going to highly recommend. They have some guest judges that include the Fine Brothers, who I think you're a fan of, Dan.
Yes, I'm a huge fan.
Wong Fu, iJustine, Kev Jumba. And, you know, although I'm not too crazy about the judges' feedback, it's kind of lame, actually. I know I'm not selling this now, but the judges could do a great deal better in terms of their feedback. But it's great to see these guys create content under a clock. And they found some really good talent. The show is hosted by the Rydell brothers, who were contestants last season. And these guys are funny. I'm surprised they haven't been snapped up by somebody to be producing something right now. But if you haven't checked out their channel, you should. I'm going to have the link on our blog, and you should check out their skit called the Tulakati Brothers. Hysterical. They're hysterical. I don't know what else to say about them. I'm surprised you're not watching this, Dan. This is actually shocking to me.
Yeah, well, the thing I saw didn't grab me.
Didn't grab you. Okay. Sorry about that. Alright. And in terms of guest updates, well, there are no updates. It seems like everybody's doing fine and everyone's healthy. We're skipping on over to our next segment, and we're going to dive into these series pickups.
Woo!
Hey, like what you're listening to? Should check out our blog at www.yougetitgotitgood.com. Or you can always shoot us an email at podcast@yougetitgotitgood.com.
All right, you know, this is like the time of year that we really get excited, Dan, but I think like if I edited the past 2 years that we've done this show, you'd see the enthusiasm just go like down. Down to the down, down, down.
Well, I was down until I saw a scandal last year.
I mean, yeah, that's true.
Well, maybe
that's
the year
before. But you
didn't
think that scandal was going to do well.
I wasn't sure because it's a weird thing. And honestly, it's not until episode 6 where it really finds itself.
Is that when they were making out in the park?
Episode 6 is the flashback episode where you find out how they all met.
Oh, okay. I love episodes like that.
But that's also the episode where, and I think I haven't sat down and watched it all again, but I'm pretty sure she cheated and changed some of the backstory on the characters.
Oh, okay.
But right in episode 6 is where you go, oh my God, now I know what this show is, and I'm excited.
Well, you know, she's got quite a long time to get into the backstory of those characters, and she needs to, because some of them have some interesting backstories, and some of them we don't know hardly anything about them. Like the black attorney that works with Olivia. We know that he's been arrested.
And we don't really know about the redhead either.
No, we know that she was abused. She keeps
implying things.
We know that her husband abused her, and you know that's a whole fleet of episodes that can happen.
You keep waiting for the husband to come back.
You totally do. And we haven't seen him yet, so anyway, not to like, you know, out you, but I do recall you not being really psyched about that series.
No, I liked it. I said it was a good pilot. I wasn't sure it was going to last.
Oh, okay. All right.
I definitely was not up on Shonda at that point.
Okay.
That was right. Mint. But that pilot was a good pilot.
I want to know. I don't think I saw it.
I watched it 3 times.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wave that in my face, why don't you?
I told you, when I find a pilot I like to study it.
Oh, okay.
And that was one of the ones where I was like, what is she doing here? Because it was weird, because it was like Shonda Rhimes and Aaron Sorkin were working together.
Well, they weren't literally.
No, but that's how the show felt.
That's how it felt, yeah.
It has its own voice now, but at the beginning, it definitely sounded like Shonda Rhimes doing a cover of Aaron Sorkin.
I seem to recall saying that I didn't like it when, you know what, I take it back. I did see the pilot, and I remember saying something to the effect of, I hate it when people try to be something other than themselves. Like, is Shonda trying to be Aaron Sorkin? And like I said, she even has Aaron Sorkin actors in there.
Well, yeah. You it's know. Like all, what is, Breakfast there was a chart, it was like Gilmore Girls, every Aaron Sorkin show, and so like something else like Parenthood, I think.
Yeah.
But like all of the actors that have been on the show so far have just come from those shows.
Yeah. I just remember being kind of like, just sort of putting up the yield sign and sort of warning, but it all turned out great. And now we're all gladiators and we're happy people. I don't know what happened to her series, that the other pilot that she did called Gilded Lilies. I guess that wasn't picked up.
I don't think I ever saw that.
I had read about it. I'd seen some footage of people working on the set of it, but I don't know what happened. I guess it was supposed to be like our Downton Abbey, but I don't know what happened to that. So, okay, let's talk about series pickups. ABC. Is this ABC that this is going to be on? It's it was called Mind Games. Is it Mind Games?
It was called Mind Games, but now it's called Influence.
Influence. It's a, I guess it's an action drama starring Christian Slater and Steve Zahn. And I guess it's a story of two brothers. One is like a bipolar genius, and the other one is a slick ex-con. And together they've created this sort of boutique agency that's created to help people with their problems by using real science of human motivation and manipulation. And you know what? I can't believe I'm saying this, but I liked it.
I liked it. I don't know that I would watch it.
That's true, too. You know, it's so weird. I like
it's a weird dynamic.
It's a weird dynamic. The casting is odd, but it's good.
I saw the twist at the end coming.
You did?
Pretty much at the beginning.
Oh, I didn't.
But it's weird, and I'm not sure Christian Slater is giving us enough.
I think it's the best.
And I feel like Zahn is giving us too much.
But I think they need to find themselves. You know, I think it just needs a couple of episodes for it to just sort of simmer down there.
But the other issue I had was, it's basically Leverage, right?
Yes. Leverage, but using human science and manipulation of humans.
But that was Leverage.
Yeah,
I mean, those cons work based on the whole philosophy of human nature. I mean, that was the thing, is like, I feel like Leverage was a more fun show, a more fun version of this show. And I'm not sure how this show is really going to stand out by just having the crazy guy instead of an alcoholic guy.
I don't know what I'm saying here, but I'm going to say that Leverage felt very Canadian to me. And I love
Canada. Oh, snap.
I love you, Canada. I love you, Canada. But there was just something off about it. There was something off about it. Oh, my goodness. You make it sound like it said something just so awful.
Oh.
But it did. It got very Canadian.
All right.
And I say that Canadian in the 7-8 years ago, Canadian. Like, you knew it wasn't shot where they said it was going, where it was being shot. It just sort of had this sort of, there was just this offness about it. It was just off.
Yeah.
And I didn't get that feeling with this series. I felt like they, honest to God, shot it in Chicago. I think it was Chicago.
I forget.
But it felt very authentic to me. And yeah, I think the acting was a little over the top and a little bit crazy and major bipolar. But I think once they just sort of find their vibe, it'll be okay. It'll be okay. It was great to see Steve Zahn back on television or back on any screen. I haven't seen him in so long. And hopefully this will work out for Christian Slater, because he's tried and tried and tried again, and whew, he must be battle-weary. He really must, so.
I guess.
Yeah, I'd recommend this. You know, I'd say give it a chance. Give it a chance. But, you know, whatever.
I'll watch another one, but I'm not eager.
You're not eager.
Okay. Not eager.
All right.
What else you got?
Comedy, Back in the Game.
That's ABC, right?
Yeah, that's ABC. This was a weird one. I guess this is a story of a mom, single mom, who's recently divorced. She moves back in with her father, she and her son. And her father is somebody that she's just not too crazy about. He was one of those dads that was never really there for her. I guess he was busy traveling and working. And she was a softball star. Like, she played in high school and all throughout college. She was, like, all-star. And he never came to not one of her games. And she's, like, very pissed about it still. Jump cut to today, her son is trying out for Little League, and he's the worst baseball player ever. Yeah. And
it's basically Bad News Bears with a woman in the Walter Matthau part.
True, yes.
And that's not necessarily bad.
No.
But
how long can it go?
I don't know. I don't feel like America loves baseball like it used to. One, but also I was curious, is she leaving Psych?
Well, Psych is done, isn't it, in this last season?
I don't know. Maybe they already shot it. Yeah, I thought they were still shooting.
Well, no, everybody's been casted, it seems like, in other things. But just so people know, this comedy, Back in the Game, stars Maggie Lawson, who was one of the cast members in Psych. She was the blonde detective. James Caan plays her father. And Lenora Critchlow? She's the one that was in Being Human, the British version. She played the ghost. And in this one, she plays a British diva who is a widow. And she's hysterical.
She's hilarious.
She's hysterical.
I didn't want to like this show. I don't know why. But I ended up kind of really enjoying it, mm-hmm. even though there were no real surprises for me. And I don't know. Those kids actually had some sort of charisma, and it's rare to see in primetime television.
They were funny, and they weren't yucky.
Yeah, they weren't. They weren't pro kids. They were just kid.
Yeah. They felt very natural, very natural, and it was well directed. I just didn't know where can this go, but we'll see.
I will also give that a couple episodes before I decide it's not worth watching anymore.
Sure, but ABC seems to know comedy these days. Excuse me.
They're better with their family comedy.
You know what? I don't know. I'm pulling for Back in the Game. I think Back in the Game is going to do well, Dan, because baseball is America's pastime, and the flyover states love it.
I don't know. It might work. I mean, as a companion to what, Modern Family, probably?
I would hope so. I mean, it definitely had that kind of vibe. And Maggie Lawson was really good. She's good at comedy.
Yeah.
She's really good. She could carry that show. But that Lenora, man, she had me howling. She had me howling. So, you know, I think this one is going to make it. I think that's going to make it. I'm pulling for Influence, or Mind Games, as it's called. We will see. CBS has Bad Teacher, the comedy, coming our way. And recently... Recently, the film has been given a part two, for which I believe Cameron Diaz is returning. JT, not sure.
The only good thing about Bad Teacher for me was that it was better than Beverly Hills Cop.
Oh, my goodness. Let's not get started.
It's at the bottom of my list. I'm sorry. I did not think it was a very good pilot. It doesn't There's no series to it. And this is the issue I've been having with a lot of these pilots is you're just sitting there going, why? What is happening in episode 13? And how is this possibly going to go another 2 years? You know,
I don't know. The
characters have to change and then you lose the point of the show, or the characters don't change. And then you're like, I've seen it last week and the week before and the week before that. I just don't see what the point of this show is.
I don't know, but what could have been a hodgepodge of casting of characters? They all seem to gel really well.
Yeah.
You know, it stars Ari Grainer, who was in The Fringe. The Fringe. She was in The Fringe on Fox. David Alan Greer, Sarah Gilbert, who I was glad to see back on camera, and a fleet of other people who have either, like, been the stars of or have been in some really heavy or high-powered comedies. And they all seem to really work well together. Yep. The script itself, it was a weak story. It was weak.
Maybe it was just because it was a setup, so.
Yeah, that's all. It was a setup, and it served its purpose. But it felt kind of corny or campy at times. And I don't know if it really matched the vibe of the comedy of Bad Teacher. But I don't know. We'll see. I personally don't think it's going to make it.
Me neither.
Unfortunately. And it's a sad thing because the actors in that are all equally. They know their stuff and they do comedy well. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Anyway, on that note, we're not doubling over and laughing and our stomachs aren't hurting. And, you know, Dan's not tossing his head back going, oh.
I just didn't think it was very good. But while we're on CBS, I'd like to talk about a much better, or at least a much more interesting comedy.
Yes.
Mom, a new CBS sitcom from Chuck Lorre. I believe it's his first female lead since Grace Under Fire.
Yes.
But I have to double check that on the interwebs.
Mm-hmm.
Starring Anna Faris and Allison Janney.
Yes.
With a number of other character actors you'll recognize.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting because it's about a woman who is, I believe they say, 124 days sober.
Yes.
And up until then, she's been
a hot mess.
She was a complete hot mess and suddenly realized she had to be a better mom to her teenage daughter, who's at that age that she was at when she had her.
Mm-hmm.
And is in that same sort of dangerous behavior. And on the surface, all of this sounds like it's like a sad, dark show. But every time, I don't know how he did it, but he got laughs out of these scenes.
Yeah.
And Allison Janney is the mom of Anna Faris, who was also a recovering alcoholic. But she doesn't play it the way you expect the character to go.
She sounds all innocent and highfalutin, yeah. And then she opens her mouth and you howl.
I'm fascinated by this show.
I just wonder, it's pushing the envelope, I think. Maybe
it's definitely pushing the envelope. I don't know if America wants to watch it or not, but I will watch it until it gets canceled.
Yeah, I think it's hysterical, and it definitely pushes the envelope farther, I think, than Two and a Half Men.
Or Two Broke Girls or anything else.
Anything else that's out there, most definitely.
She just had her hand in.
And I don't think Anna Faris could do this kind of comedy, you know?
Yeah.
It's like she's always been sort of given that sort of bubbly, you know, grinning blonde comedy that I've just been like, ugh. But she was great in this.
And, yeah, I definitely want to see what this show does. Hopefully it maintains that kind of balance between serious and just, you know, over-the-top comedy, and it makes it an interesting show.
Well, Allison Janney, you know, Allison, you can do no wrong. You can do no wrong in my eyes. I miss C.J. Craig so bad it hurts.
So bad it hurts,
but she's a very talented actress, and I think it's going to do well. It's going to do well until this. And it's going to raise a lot of highfalutin eyes, and people are going to be complaining. And they're going to say, people who are in the 12 steps don't behave this way. And it's going to be bananas. I know. I hear the group screaming already. But give it a chance, for the love of God. Give it a chance.
Should we talk about Hostages, since CBS seems to be pushing it really hard?
Sure, why not? And I don't know. I guess I'm confused. Why they are pushing it so hard.
Put a lot of money in it, obviously.
Yeah. Well, see, this is Hostages. It's starring Toni Collette of Muriel's Wedding fame, Dylan McDermott. From The Practice, and a host of others. Basically, it's the story of a high-powered brain surgeon or surgeon who has been selected to do a procedure on the President of the United States. And her house is taken over by, I guess you could call them, terrorists?
Well, no, you don't know yet.
We don't know yet.
All you know is they have a beef with the president.
Yeah.
And they're taking these hostages
exactly.
to make her kill the president during surgery.
Exactly.
But the thing is again, and I'm just going to keep hitting this point until people yell at me, but it's another one of these shows where you're like, okay, that's a great movie idea, but where's this show? I mean, why am I watching this every single week? And I feel like they've got some great beats. Mm-hmm. I don't want to spoil them. There are some other beats that are involved.
Yeah.
But then you're like, okay, now you're at the end of 13 episodes, maybe. And what gets you to 22? And then what happens next season? Is it new people taking hostage? Why are you watching this show? And I don't feel like the development people are making asking these questions anymore. Like, they're just going for these high concepts and hoping for the best to get through the one season, and they figure they'll worry about the next season when they get to it.
Well, maybe they know something we don't.
I don't know. I mean, I wish they would just be honest if that's the case and just say we're adopting the British model for television now.
Hmm.
And, you know, we're just going to do long-term miniseries.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to make, you know, these ongoing shows anymore.
I don't really know, but it's so weird. I want to see Toni Collette in more films.
I love seeing Toni Collette, and oh my God, she has lost a lot of weight.
She has. She looks stick thin.
She looked a little unhealthy for
me. She did. She does. She looks a little. Look at that. Finally, a man that's saying he wants some more meat on some woman's bones. Well, you know, she does look skinny. She has. There have been times when I've seen her and I've been like, is she doing okay?
Yeah.
But I guess this is just how they see the character, I'm supposing.
I guess.
You know, you look pretty with meat on your bones, Toni. We're just saying.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Anyway, on that note, we're going to take a break.
Like what you're listening to? Then shoot an email to podcast@yougetitgotitgood.com. Or leave a comment on our blog at yougetitgotitgood.com.
And now it's time for some Fox action, peeps. This is one of my faves, Dan.
On Fox.
Almost Human. They are going to become the new police drama network.
Oh, Fox?
Yes. Because they've got Almost Human, Gang Related, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I mean, it's insane. Sleepy Hollow. It's crazy. But let's focus on the first one, which is Almost Human. This is a police drama. It stars Carl Urban and Michael. How do you pronounce his last name?
Ely.
Carl Urban plays
Dr. Spock. McCoy.
Yeah, he plays Dr. McCoy in Star Trek. I didn't make the connection. This man is a very talented actor because he was also in The Bourne Identity and he played a Russian terrorist, a Russian assassin, and did a good job. I thought the man was Russian. Then he opens his mouth and I'm like, oh my gosh, that guy from The Bourne Identity, he's not Russian. Then it clicks in my head. I'm like, wait a minute, why does this guy look familiar? Then I realize he played the Doctor in Star Trek. You rock, Carl Urban. You rock.
You do rock.
You fooled me. Anywho, this series is the story. I guess it takes place 35 years in the future.
Okay.
It's a story of a policeman who gets involved in a case in which he loses one of his legs. And this is a time where they've created androids and robots and things. And cops have them as partners. And when he comes back to the Force, he's partnered up with one of these androids. And I guess it's about them seeing through cases. And there's a bigger arc where he's trying to figure out who it was that set off that explosive, caused him to lose his leg, and there's this big conspiracy going on. But, you know, the thing that's really working in this, when you hear it's going to take place in the future, you're like, oh, man, they only have so much money to throw at series like this. It's going to look whack. It's going to be like whammo guns covered with, like, metal paint. No, it is so not. This feels so Blade Runner.
Hmm.
Okay, it feels so Blade Runner, but it works. It
feels a little too Blade Runner at points. The homage is really showing through in a couple of scenes.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just hard on it because I am a big nerd, but I just felt like this was nothing I hadn't seen before.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it was great to see, you know, a person of color in the second lead.
Mm-hmm.
But he was forced into this role where he's kind of less than human. So then you're like, eh. But it was an interesting cast all around. the story didn't... I wasn't in love with the story. I just felt like, oh, yeah, this is Blade Runner. Oh, this is a little... not Running Man, but Total Recall. Mm-hmm. Here's a little bit of... You see a lot of like little pieces that you've seen in other science fiction stuff on TV before. And that was my biggest issue, is like I wanted to hear the show, what the show sounds like, and not the stuff that it was influenced by.
I think we're going to get it, because I think the casting is really good. And it sort of countered the whole atmosphere and everything, where it felt pretty organic. You know, when you got people like Lily Taylor in there.
Yeah, it's a strong cast. It's a strong cast. Even with Nick Jelly in it.
Yeah, and they're bringing what they do well, which is subtlety. You know, she's not like the screaming, yelling captain. Thank God we don't have the screaming black yelling captain. Would have been nice to have black, but come on, we're done with that.
No,
we're done.
I still love that character.
Oh my goodness, we're so
I'll
done.
I'll have your badge in a sling.
What you trying to do? Give me a heart attack?
I'm 3 months away from retirement.
No. And you two are trying to give me a heart attack. I mean, it's just sort of like she does
just
very well.
So you just miss.
Yeah.
I don't know. I want to see what they do. I get the feeling they're going to disappoint me, though.
I get the feeling this is going to do well.
It'll do well. Me.
It may disappoint Dan, and we'll have to live with that, everyone.
Exactly.
We'll have to live with that.
It's like Revolution.
I'm going to suggest watching it. Carl Urban, you rock. You are a chameleon. Any man who can do Dr. McCoy and then play some assassin in a Bourne Identity like that, you got me.
I feel like this episode's the mini loves of Gabrielle Howard. Brooklyn 99.
Brooklyn 99. You know what? I like this. It's a comedy, a single camera comedy that stars Andy Samberg and Andre Brower. It takes place, of course, in Brooklyn, and it's about a precinct and all the wacky things that go on. And Andy Samberg is sort of like the Hawkeye Pierce of this crew here. He uses comedy and joking as a coping mechanism. And he has a partner that's played by Melissa Fumero, who I love, who I casted in a pilot that I produced a while ago. She was excellent.
It took me 2 times to watch this because for some reason that opening with Andy Samberg really turned me off and I had to like drive back through that part and to get to the show. Once Andre Brower shows up, for me, the show goes like, up at least 7 points and becomes interesting. And there's a joke, running joke through the whole thing that pays off delightfully at the end.
Oh, yes, it does.
That I was like, okay, I'm sold. I'm good for at least 6 episodes of this show because it felt like they have a sense of what this entire cast does and the storytelling involved.
And it's tricky.
It's because... not really a cop show. It's really just a ensemble comedy.
Yeah.
Workplace comedy.
it's tricky though, because the talent in this are radically different from one another. Radically different. I mean, it's like Andre Brower, I didn't know he could do comedy.
Oh, yeah.
This is the first time I've ever seen this from him. He's good as a straight man, but I didn't know he had it in him. And working with Andy Samberg, and I know Melissa brings sort of a different tone of comedy to it, but they work. They work really well. And some of the guest appearances on it are great as well. So I think this is going to do really well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this one's going to do really well. I highly recommend. Yeah, highly recommend. There's some talent here that I haven't seen before, but they're pleasantly surprising. But it looks good. Well done.
Mm-hmm. Do we have to talk about this next pilot?
Yes, we do. Because I think it's going to do well, Dan. Dan does not like this series that we're going to discuss in a minute, peeps. He does not like the idea.
I don't like this series. I mean, I don't like the pilot itself.
He does.
I am open to any style of story.
He does.
If it's good.
He does not.
I don't.
He does not.
I don't like the pilot. I thought it was terrible.
Well, okay, look, it was spectacular.
It was terrible.
It was still out of me.
Oh, I'm lost in time. Oh, look, what is this Starbucks? Oh, what is this Apple computer? Like every stupid time travel, lost in time cliche.
That didn't
and then
happen.
They bolt on the stupid forfeit of the apocalypse on
that,
top of that.
That didn't happen, Dan.
There what was are you one, talking about?
There was one Starbucks crack.
Maybe the Apple computer thing might have been in my head, but there were other jokes of that nature.
People, correct me if I'm wrong, but wouldn't you like to know what this is about before Dan starts hammering on it?
It's a terrible show. I don't want you to watch it.
Just so you know, this is a drama, police, I guess, drama, in which Ichabod Crane comes back to life and works alongside a town sheriff to solve a big, big crime. I could have pitched it even better, but Dan has blown the wind out of my sail.
Terrible.
Popped
Look,
my animal
Ichabod Crane fought the cursed horsemen during the Revolutionary War, and during their fight, their final battle against each other, they both go into some. Well, they get put into mystical comas. The evil guy disappears, and a witch comes and takes Ichabod Crane and puts him into this mystical stasis until the headless horseman rears his head again. And so now it's 2013, and the horseman comes back, and he starts murdering again, although we're not sure why. And Ichabod Crane comes back, and it's not like he has any special abilities, but for some reason he's the only one who can deal with him. And then there's this whole major season arc thing that's coming up. It's just dumb. I refuse to admit the show is anything but dumb. But at the same time, wonderfully diverse cast, interesting character actors, but at the same time, I'm just sitting there going, why am I watching this show? It's like dumb X-Files.
It had a crazy diverse cast, and I thought it did a good job.
I don't know. You watch the show, you tell your listeners how awesome it is, and maybe I'll come back at episode 6.
I'm not going to tell the audience how awesome it is. I'm going to ask you to decide for yourselves. But I do feel like this is going to be one of those series that's going to sort of kick off. People are going to hammer it, put it down, and then it's going to gain traction, and it's going to take off.
Okay.
Ironside, can we take a gentler moment?
I'll let you talk about that.
Well, look at why?
Because it was not as good as I wanted it to be.
You know what? I do think this is the Gabrielle Husbandless show.
It is, because you were drooling. You got the drooling on that one.
You know what? Look, Blair, you can't help it. People are describing him as sexy all over the internet. He's one of the few people that I know that are described as sexy still.
He is a sexy man.
Okay.
He is a sexy man.
He my God. Dan is comfortable and just confident man who can say this.
I'm totally confident. Okay. He is a very beautiful man to look at. But after a while, I'm just like, what is he doing in the wheelchair?
Well, you know what? Look, he's doing a revamp of Ironside. For those of you who aren't familiar, this is a police drama. It's a story.
Which is like 90% of the viewing audience.
Dan will not let me get through this. This is going to be the worst. Can I apologize ahead of time for the editing?
I just want to know who's demanding Ironside.
I want to apologize ahead of time to my audience for the crappy editing that's going to take place here. Okay. It's the story of a policeman who is shot and is paralyzed, but is still on the force and works while he's in a wheelchair. Thank you.
What 18 to 34-year-old is demanding Ironside?
18 to 30-year-olds who know that Blair has got it going on and still looks good.
So, the show could have just been called Blair Rollin'.
You know what? I'm going to have to say, I think the case was a good one. It was a little disappointing at the end.
Yep.
It was a little disappointing at the end. But I'm going to have to say, I think the cast is great. You've got Blair Underwood, Brent Sexton, and Spencer Grammer, who has, I swear to you, Spencer Grammer has gone through this transformation. She used to come in front of me and audition for things and be like this quirky, sort of giggly girl. Now she's this sharp, like intense, serious blonde chick. I hardly recognize her. Okay.
I will say it's, again, a very diverse cast.
It's a diverse cast.
They got Brent Asians Sexton. And Latinos.
What are you complaining about? What are you complaining about?
No, there's no complaint. I'm happy.
You better be happy, Dan.
I'm pointing out for the listeners that this is a very diverse show. And in this case, it works because it's the middle of an actual urban center.
You mean New York City?
I couldn't remember if it was New York or Chicago, to be honest.
It's New York City, and there are actually, you know, black folks on the police force.
And on the streets. I was glad for the casting. I hope the writing picks up a little bit. I hope they use the original theme song, because that is one of the probably 20 best theme songs of television ever.
Written by Quincy Jones, might I add?
Yes, yes. So hopefully that was worked out and they used it and not some crazy dubstep version of it.
Well, they're not. It seems like they have one, a new one already.
I'm already disappointed.
Well, that one is a little annoying. I mean, look, I love Quincy. I love what he does. And it worked then. I just don't know if it would work now. Yeah.
So I think it would work. And I also question why people use old IP and then use nothing of that property.
Maybe he didn't give permission.
Well, no, I can understand, you know, the theme song, that's whatever.
Yeah.
Because nobody wants to pay for that stuff anymore.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, it's so different from the original Ironside. I mean, obviously to make new stories and whatever, but and then again, it's like, why not make the show, you know, Black Wheelchair Detective? Obviously a catchier name than that, but I don't understand why they're using these IPs that I don't think held any interest to the audience they claim they're going for.
I don't know what to tell you. And look, you know what? Look, I think it was good. You don't think it was good.
I thought it was okay. It just wasn't. It wasn't. It didn't stand out for me because I'm not deeply in love with Blair Underwood. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was just okay.
Aside from me being deeply in love with Blair Underwood, I thought he brought it. He was very convincing. As this person that has gone through this experience and now must practice his craft in a wheelchair. Right. I mean, I think you did bring up an excellent question the last time we were talking about this, Dan, which was, did they put up best efforts to find someone who was physically challenged to play the role?
Right.
And I guess I was, all throughout watching it, I was questioning that. I was wondering.
I watched it and I felt like they could have done it with someone who actually is in a wheelchair. And then done really cheap. There's cheap ways to have done the shots where they needed him walking.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's also him driving the production, I think. I think Blair Underwood wanted to make this. and it wasn't a situation where they were doing it and they cast Blair Underwood. I think Blair Underwood was involved with this pretty much early on. So I give them the allowance. But still, there's a point of me where I'm wondering, you know, if people are really trying for the diversity that's easily available.
I don't know. But, you know, can we talk about diversity for a moment? I'm trying to judge as to whether or not networks now are making best efforts, or are we going backwards? I can't quite tell.
I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of these pilots, I've watched a lot of these pilots, and I feel like it definitely is the year of the Asian actor. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of interesting Asian character actors showing up. They're not in leads, but they're in like second leads or at least recurring characters, and they're not going to the old tropes that you usually get with Asian actors. So it's nice to see at least something is being tried.
Right.
Although I get the feeling all those characters used to be black characters.
Really?
I do.
Interesting. I'm not sure, but I was surprised to see as much diversity as I did see. And what I liked about it was that overall it didn't feel like they were being hit over the head with it, like forced or pushed. It all felt rather organic to me. It feels like they're making best efforts.
Yeah. No, and I'd rather have, you know, the kind of, wow, that's kind of weird, but I'm happy to see it situation of Sleepy Hollow, mm-hmm. as opposed to, you know, I don't know, the NBC had some show set in D.C., but, you know, the only black people you saw were, like, occasional, there's the one lead and then, like, a couple of secondary, you know, one episode characters.
What are you talking about?
I forget. It had some name like, you know, Heist or Kidnapped or something. Oh. It was like one of the action dramas that they're doing.
Okay.
And there it felt like the diversity was a little less. And there was a lot of, you know, characters who were diverse, but they were way, way, you know, down on the line. There were two line characters or background characters at best.
Okay.
But, you know, still, I'd rather we move forward and you at least they're casting them now. It's, you know, I always hold that example of the pilot for West Wing set in Washington, D.C., one of the blacker cities of America. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the actual cast was less diverse than George Bush's actual cabinet that they were, you know, trying to show themselves as contrary to. And you know, even the best intentioned creators sometimes miss things like that.
True.
And it's good to see people at least trying it, and they should be acknowledged for making that effort.
True. I agree. Move forward, Hollywood. You know, hopefully it won't feel too much like you're having root canal every time you try to diversify a story.
Yeah. And I think, you know, what, Modern Family, the CSI franchise, mm-hmm. You know, to go to movies, Fast and Furious. You know, I think diversity is no longer a bad thing, even in international markets. It's as long as there's actual good storytelling involved. You can cast whoever as long as they fit into the story. You know, we need to just stop being afraid, and we need to stop casting these weird ghettoized characters who it's like five white people and one, you know, person of color or, you know, person who's differently abled in the background.
I agree. Those days should be done.
Just cast.
This is a global world we're living in.
Yeah.
It's time we kind of represent, but without it feeling like it's homework. When it comes across that way, it's extremely disappointing. us for yet another episode of Your New Hollywood. You get it, got it, good. Like usual, this is like Christmas time for Dan and I. It usually is. It's like, you know, new series. We usually get amped up, but this is a toss-up, people. Who knows what to expect?
I feel like we're going to be surprised by something.
We are, and it's going to be something that's going to come out of left field, and, you know, you and I may be just as stunned as everybody else. But I think among some of these that we've covered, a few of them are going to really hit, and they're going to do well, you know, and Sleepy Hollow's going to rock, and Dan's going to have egg on his face.
That's not going to happen.
Okay, I was hoping. I'm kind of hoping. I don't really feel that much, but I'm kind of hoping that happens. Anyway,
you keep open.
If you guys want to see footage of any of these, please, by all means, do visit our blog. We're at yougetitgotitgood.com. And all of our contact information is there. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook. And we'd love to hear your comments. If you've seen any of these pilots, if you've seen any of the trailers on television, we'd love to hear what you think. Thanks for joining. We'll see you again soon.
Have a good one.